This is a Kim Monson National News Briefing. Helen Rawley argues the Iran war weakened China by squeezing its oil and exposing its weapons. On the Kim Monson show, the Federalist contributor said Beijing's reliance on Middle East crude and questions about Chinese-made arms carry warnings for a fight over Taiwan. Denver, the Iran war weakened China rather than strengthening it, Helen Rawley argued on the Kim Monson show, because the conflict squeezed Beijing's access to discounted Middle East crude and raised questions about the Chinese-made weapons that several U.S. adversaries depend on. Rawley, a senior contributor at The Federalist, was discussing her analysis, Pomp Without Substance. Debunking Three Myths from the Trump-Xi Summit in Beijing, which examines the recent meeting between President Trump and Chinese leader Xi Jinping. She organized the piece around three myths she says spread through the press before and after the summit, and she opened with the claim that the Iran war strengthened China. The pain that we endure is nothing compared to the pain that China is enduring, Rawley said on the Kim Monson show. So I think the war hurts China much more than it hurts the United States. And that's one of the biggest myths out there, to think that the war somehow strengthened China and weakened the United States. Rawley rebuts the first myth on two fronts, and the first is energy. China is among the world's largest crude oil importers, and its consumption is still rising despite heavy investment in solar, batteries, and electric vehicles. Most of that crude reaches China from the Middle East by tanker through the Strait of Hormuz. That dependence is well documented. The U.S. Energy Information Administration reported that about 84% of the crude oil and condensate that moved through the Strait of Hormuz in 2024 went to Asian markets, with China, India, Japan, and South Korea as the top destinations. Roughly a fifth of global petroleum liquids consumption passes through the strait. Rawley tied that choke point to recent U.S. actions. Since the start of the year, the Trump administration's actions, including removal of Venezuela's Maduro and military operations with Israel against Iran, have limited Beijing's access to discounted crude oil from key sources, she wrote in the passage Monson read on air. Higher oil and gas prices land harder on China's manufacturing economy than on the United States, which is itself a major oil exporter, she argued, by her account, that pressure explains why Beijing pushed Iran to reopen the strait quickly ahead of the summit. The second front in Rawley's case against that first myth concerns hardware. China is one of the world's largest arms exporters, supplying military equipment to countries across the global south and the Middle East, including Iran. Rawley said recent conflicts have begun to raise questions about how those systems perform. She framed the doubts as a pattern spanning three theaters. When you see the first one, you think, well, maybe just like outliers, Rawley said on the Kim Monson show. But once you see three times this happens, then you start to see a trend. So I think that this series of wars is actually embarrassment for China, that it's basically made in China, equipment did not deliver as it should be. The clearest documented case involves air defense. The Chinese origin HQ-9B surface-to-air missile system that Iran is believed to have recently acquired drew scrutiny after coordinated U.S. and Israeli strikes. The Times of India reported that the strikes raised serious questions about the performance of Tehran's air defense network, particularly the Chinese origin HQ-9B system. The same report noted that the HQ-9B also faced scrutiny over its performance in protecting high-value targets in Pakistan during India's Operation Sindoor in May 2025. Pakistan, China's closest military partner in Asia, fields a range of Chinese systems. Rawley also pointed to Iran's broader losses and to the removal of Venezuela's Nicolás Maduro as part of the same trend. By her account, Iran suffered the decapitation of key leaders and the sinking of naval vessels, and U.S. forces captured Maduro with little resistance after Chinese-supplied weapons malfunctioned. Those specific battlefield claims are Rawley's reading of recent events. She argued the stakes reached Taiwan. This will have a great implication for the future of Taiwan, because clearly the Chinese leaders now have no confidence in his military's fighting ability. Rawley said, noting that Xi has invested heavily to modernize the People's Liberation Army. The reliability of Chinese arms in combat, she said, bears directly on any calculation about a fight over the island. Monson connected the analysis to earlier reporting on the show. I'd had General Joe Arbuckle on several weeks ago, and he had gone through a number of things that Trump has done, she said. And he said, this is all about China. That earlier conversation, examined in an earlier report on Arbuckle's grand strategy analysis, framed the Iran campaign as a move aimed ultimately at Beijing. The second myth holds that China is a rising power, while the United States is in decline. At the summit, she invoked the Thucydides trap, a concept popularized by Harvard professor Graham Allison. The Harvard Kennedy School confirmed that Allison coined the term and that she asked Trump whether the two nations could overcome the Thucydides trap and establish a new paradigm for relations between great powers. The idea draws on the ancient rivalry between a rising Athens and a fearful Sparta. Raleigh argued the framing casts the United States as the declining power and ignores China's internal strains, a collapsing property market, rising local government debt, a demographic crisis rooted in the one-child policy, high youth unemployment, and a surveillance state. She also called the analogy ironic, noting that Athens was a democracy while China is a one-party authoritarian state. As evidence of American strength, she cited the delegation Trump brought to Beijing. Trump showed up in Beijing with 17 CEOs of the United States, Raleigh said, and those 17 CEOs, their company represents a combined market capitalization of about $16 trillion. Yahoo Finance reported the executives carried a combined market capitalization of roughly $16.4 trillion, a sum on the order of China's entire annual economic output. To Raleigh, that demonstrated that the United States remains a rising power. The third myth holds that the summit failed because it produced no major breakthroughs. The meeting was heavily anticipated, Raleigh said, and many observers expected a trade deal or an agreement on artificial intelligence. When no such announcement came, critics called the meeting pointless and asked why the two leaders had met at all. Raleigh said that reaction misreads how diplomacy works. Talking to an adversary lets each side learn where the other stands and state its own position, and it carries no concession by itself. By her reading, the absence of a sweeping deal was the firm outcome because it meant the United States gave no ground on trade, Taiwan, or technology. She pointed to Trump's habit of pairing flattering language toward Xi with hard action and argued that his record on China runs tougher than his rhetoric. The quiet summit also undercut the prediction that Trump arrived weakened and dependent on Beijing to end the Iran war. The administration has kept pressing Iran toward an agreement with a mix of pressure and incentives, she said, without leaning on China. Raleigh has written extensively on the subject, including her book Confucius Never Said. Born and raised in China, she came to the United States as a college student and now writes for several national outlets. And now, Kim's perspective. I have said for years that the way to read this administration is to watch what it does, not what it says, and Helen Raleigh makes that case with clarity. When you control your own energy, you hold real leverage, and when you depend on crude moving through a strait someone else can close, you are exposed. That is the difference between a free economy that produces its own power and a command economy propped up by coal, slave labor, and other people's oil. The questions now surrounding Chinese-made weapons should give every adversary that bought them pause, and they should sharpen our own thinking about Taiwan. Freedom builds strength that force cannot fake. This is why these conversations matter, and why I want you thinking hard about who actually holds the cards. For the full article with sources and links, visit kimmonson.com. This has been a Kim Monson National News Briefing.